Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Cough in a Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to talk to you about breaking free from mental illness. Breaking free from mental illness. Now, I'm going to take a different approach today because a lot of times people tend to look at mental illness and they really don't understand exactly when we're talking about mental illness as far as the disease of mental illness, or we talk about from everyday type of living where we keep ourselves mentally from getting sick. And today I want to talk to you and allude to more of the second aspect of it, which is basically keeping your mind out of the sickness part of causing it to begin to move into mental illness because of the fact, you know, scientists have said for years that if there's five things a day you can learn, that five new things a day can actually keep you from getting into mental illness. Did you know that? And over 400 scientists even back up the theory that if we actually could learn five things a day, or if we could do these five things which I'm going to share with you today, that actually could break us and keep us free from mental illness. And a lot of times I think I look at life and so many of us get in routines and ruts and habits and patterns, and so many people in the body of Christ today, we're moving in the theology in which we've always learned. You know, I've talked to so many people, so many ministers, so many friends of ours all across the world and all across the globe who basically let us know that, you know, Jeremy, what's going on today is you're bringing forth something that is fresh and new and tangible that's causing our perception to be reshifted, to be shifted into a new enlightenment, a new empowerment, to see things differently, to begin to take a different view, a different outlook upon life and upon Christianity and upon these things that, guess what, folks, has been in the Word of God all the whole time. But yet we have to remember that in every generation, in every decade, in every millennium, that there tends to be an expansion of consciousness, okay? Now, once again, you know, when we say expansion of consciousness, you know, and I'm hoping and praying that, you know, most of our listeners by now were so non-religious, you know, and I always tell people, I love to kick over sacred cows, because if a person freaks out at the word consciousness or enlightenment, you know, then what you're saying is you're definitely, you know, full of religious demons. And no offense, folks, but that's just the gist of it, because these are words and terminologies that people have used for centuries that actually are that spirituality doesn't own them, New Age doesn't own them. New Age do not own words, folks, okay? So I want to clear the air again. A religion cannot own a word, all right? So once we see past this, we see how silly we've been and how ridiculous we've sounded for so long on our little high, you know, sacred cow horse, you know, over here. We realize just how dumb this has really been. And so when we look at the reality of understanding that every millennium, every decade, every generation has actually seen a shifting in consciousness, which means we have seen the expansion of the Christ mind beginning to operate in us, move in us, and begin to open us up and reveal to us secrets and mysteries that we knew not of before. Now, let me put it to you in good Christianese terminology for some of you out there who are like, oh my goodness, help me. You know, I feel as if I stepped into some New Age convention. Let me explain this to you in a Christianese language you'll understand. And it's how we have to do that, but for a lot of our listeners, we have to understand that we're all on a journey, and we're all getting and improving. And the Bible says those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled. And the Bible says, you know, ask and it shall be given. So I know many of you are asking because you're wanting to be able to say, I really want to be able to move on in what God is doing today. And we have to remember that we're in a season where we need to be able to balance ourselves out to be able to be all things to all people, that we might win some. So Christianese terminologies, let's put it this way. The Bible says what? In the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So there's an expansion of the Holy Spirit being poured out. We read about the latter shall be greater than the former. Guess what that means? It's an expansion of what? Of knowledge. When we say expansion of consciousness, what are we saying? We're saying the mind of Christ is growing inside of our mind. Have you ever heard the terminology, sin consciousness versus the Christ conscious mind? And yet a lot of us don't really freak out about that because we understand, oh, we get what you're saying. You know, an unrenewed mind versus a renewed mind. Absolutely. Same exact terminology, same exact thing. And so understanding that concept, we realize that what does it mean to have a mental illness in the brain? What does it mean to be able to move on over into something that is delightful, something that is encouraging, something that the Bible says, behold, I do a new thing. Something where God begins to initiate initiate us, rev us up, to get us to understand that I, the Lord thy God, I am here to be able to display to you, speak to you, volumes of things that you know not of. And that's what God does to us daily. I remember in, I think it's in the last, as far as 1 John, the last part of the book, and it talks about if the Bible was, you know, could hold everything Jesus did, you know, if there was enough books to hold everything that Jesus did, I mean, there'd be no room enough, you know, to contain them here on earth, because he did so many miracles, signs, wonders. He spoke so many different volumes upon volumes of revelatory things to a group of people that, guess what, we're still struggling with right now, and many of you are still struggling with, and we've all been there. And that is the same thing of, I'm not understanding what you're saying, Master. I'm not understanding what you're saying, Christ. I'm not understanding what you're saying, you know, Jesus. I'm not getting what you're saying, Rabbi. And so it's these things of, I'm not getting it. That's why when Jesus gave parable after parable, they didn't even understand that. Imagine today the terminology we're talking today is the exact same thing as parables that were spoken to them, because they just didn't get it. It was not part of their vocabulary, their understanding. Standing at that moment to really grab a hold of what was being said. Why? First of all, I always tell people this, it's not everybody's time to receive everything at that very moment, okay? That's called grace. B, the second aspect of it is a lot of people really have a mental block and a mental illness where it blocks them from receiving anything new, because they've already put their boundaries up to say anything outside of my belief system of what I feel confident, comfortable, is what I feel is the real deal for me. Then anything outside of that, I've automatically put a check in my subconscious mind to say, alert, 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 it's not of God. And when you do that, guess what? For you, there'll be nothing new under the sun. For you, there'll never be nothing new under the sun. And yet, in reality, what God is letting us know by that scripture is, for you as human beings, there's nothing new under the sun. But for me, there is so much revelation that you've never even heard before. And so for God, guess what? For God, for him, God would look at us and say, look, I've already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You already possess everything in my DNA. There's nothing in life you can accomplish, you can achieve. You have everything. You have the fullness of the Godhead resting and residing on the inside of you. But now, the problem with that is, for you, you've made a mental block that there's nothing new under the sun. So therefore, guess what? For you, there's nothing new under the sun. But for me, since I am the author and finisher of your faith, I delight in the prosperity of my saints. I delight in giving you the health. I delight that the children's bread, and healing is the children's bread. I delight that you begin to understand all these terminologies, all these principles, everything that I've ever said that you would get a hold of, so that with the pegs of your imagination, of the tent of that imagination, can begin to be stretched open to receive more in every generation you receive. And so therefore, when we're talking about the idea of, mental illness versus, a God-conscious mind, we're dealing with teaching people how to break free from mental illness. Mental illness, to me, is nothing more than having a mind that's hard to process new things. And one of the things that scientists has backed up in their theories from doctors and everything is proven correctly today, everything that God's ever said in His Word about mental illness. And what he's saying here is letting us understand that when we begin to have a mind that flows correctly, in the sense of maturing into receiving, getting into the receiving mode, I let people know all the time that money's like energy, it's got to flow. Because money, it's like one party, one political party says, hold your money, hold your money, which is totally devastating to the country, and it would destroy a country with the more that we hold our money. The more that we release our money and let it flow like energy does, then what happens is it causes the economy to get better. That's why every year for Black Friday and for Christmas, they tend to get a little nervous. The system of America gets a little nervous, because it's like we've got to be able to have people spend money. I mean, the more money is spent, the more our economy improves. And the more that people get in fear, that's all it is. It's just a spirit of fear. When a party tells you to hold your money, I'm sorry, that's nothing but pure Satan. It's pure devil. Because the more you hold your money, which is antichrist, because God says, freely you've received, freely give. And so the more that you hold your money, the more that you're proving to God, I don't trust you. I it's not wisdom. I don't trust you, God, and I'm fearful. Therefore, I'm going to hold everything, and I'm going to hold it good. And you know what God does? God sends a curse upon your home. Hello, God sends a curse upon your home. How do I know that? Because the parable makes it very plain with the three that he left them with talents and came back and he cursed. He cursed the one who held it. And the one who held it, he said, you know, Master, I just don't want anybody to get it. I mean, I want to hold it and keep it sacred for you. And yet God cursed him. So there's a curse upon the nation, a curse upon the land, and a curse upon the home from those and in those who actually begin to believe that, you know what, economy's bad, hold your money, don't spend anything. Then guess what? You not only hold it out of fear, but that fear causes a curse to come upon you, and you are cursed with the curse, according to what happened in that parable. And so for me, you know what? I move by faith and not by sight. I move by faith and not by sight. I know that my God is my supplier. Jehovah Jireh is my provider. He provides for me. He says, freely you've received, freely give. Then you know what I need to do? I need to move in obedience and not sacrifice and freely give. And not look at my paycheck and my pocketbook and my bank account and my investments to say, ooh, can I afford it? No, you give if God told you to give. And if you know you need to move freely into the realm of giving. I have news for you, folks. Giving actually is the number one thing that destroys the enemy of fear. Think about that for a moment. Giving is the most powerful tool that destroys the enemy of fear. Why? Simply because of the fact that when we begin to understand that idea of holding back, then that's fear. Guess what fear does? Then all of a sudden we begin to really move in that place of knowing that fear tells us, hold back, don't give, don't do this, don't move, don't step outside your door, can't afford a car, don't step out in the street, you'll get hit, you know, don't go over to this person's house, you'll get sick. Fear tells you that you're going to get everything upon you negatively, that you don't give anything away because you'll never get it back. Fear is a destructive, fear is a destructive force, folks. And I wanted to take some time in this, actually, a broadcast to give you the five things that you would be radically amazed from a biblical point of view that even science backs up. Five keys that science even backs up and proves to us that work, that keep mental illness away from us. Isn't it interesting how God said it all along in His Word? And the whole time God said it in His Word, we begin to look and realize the whole time that hundreds of thousands of years later, scientists begin to say, hey, you know what? We've discovered, by looking into the neurons, looking into the brain, we've discovered what keeps it flowing in harmony, what keeps it flowing in maturity, what keeps it flowing in a healthiness, what keeps it at a place where it is powerful and healthy. Guess what, folks? The Bible said it all along. And I wanted to give you these five keys within this series, but what I'm going to do actually is I'm going to begin to actually make I'm creating a teaching today, which will be available on our website this afternoon. It's going to deal with five mysteries, five keys that will unlock and break you out of mental illness. And once again, folks, let me also back up just for a moment, okay? Now, once again, when we're talking about mental illness, I am dealing with the fact of a spiritual mental illness, okay? And also, according to science and doctors, actually back up the theory and back up the idea that these five keys actually, from even a biblical point of view, can actually keep you from literal mental illness and can keep you off medication, can keep you off these different things. But one of the things we like to do in the broadcast is we like to give God all the praise and all the glory and all the credit, but we also like to be able to understand that God also uses doctors. And I remember a lady that's a subscriber of ours who got sick not even a year ago, and when she did, now it's been about a year and a half ago, when she did, she said, you know, I've got this big mass on my back, I don't know what to do, you know, but I'm trusting God. I said, look, let me tell you something. Have you gone to the doctor about that? She said, no. I said, don't be an idiot. I said, I love you. That's why I tell you, don't be an idiot. Get yourself to the doctor right now. Don't play around with that kind of thing. God has no problem with that. He has no problem with God created. Luke was a doctor. Luke was a physician in the Bible, folks, and God used him. You know, don't play around with that. Don't play Russian roulette with your body. Don't ever do that. And so I always encourage people, you know what? Look, God uses doctors. If anything, believe and trust God by faith and get yourself to the doctor and take the medication. Take what God wants you to have. It doesn't diminish your faith by far. That's a hyper movement that needs to go away. It's a balancing act of understanding that, you know what? If you had to take medication for an illness or for a problem or situation, I honor you more. I respect you more to stand up and take the boldness to say, you know what? I did have a problem, and I'm being healed by God from it. I'm quoting God's word over my life, and I'm also taking the medication that helps the chemical, you know, balancing in my body and this and this. I honor someone. That speaks of me of volumes of maturity and speaks to me of true faith in God. Amen. So that's why I wanted to sort of say that at the end of the broadcast, to where each and every one of you understand that's what it's a healthy thing to be able to do both things. But these keys will begin to set you free from mental illness and be able to move you out of that into the Christ conscious mind that you are so destined to live in and to move in. So the teaching is going to be able to be released this afternoon on our website, and it's going to be five keys to breakthrough for mental illness. Five keys to breakthrough from mental illness. All right. So everyone, you have a great day today. Have an amazing day. Don't forget to go to the website in a little bit and order your five keys to breakthrough for mental illness. I know it'll bless you. It'll definitely bless you. It'll blow you away on the things that God's given me on these five keys. All right. God bless each and every one of you. Until next broadcast, have an amazing week.